Today, as we come to the table,
whatever cool trend blows through, and I've got my freedoms, man. Of course you do. You're free in Christ. Let me ask you this. If you're not holy in Christ, your freedom is a farce. You can have your freedom, but you need to be holy. What does holiness mean? It needs to be different from the world. That's the best way to sum it up. Not like the world. Different from the world. Jesus never became like the world to reach it. Ever. He stayed 100% holy, 100% Jesus, 100% righteous, and he went right in the middle of an unholy world and loved them. And we're a part of that.
In today's message, Pastor Mark will draw our attention to the throne room of God as described in the book of Revelation. One of the things we can expect is to hear everyone who stands there in God's presence proclaiming that God is holy. It'll be said over and over again, emphasizing just how holy he is. He's perfect in every way, void of any injustice, and full of grace and love. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. God's holiness is one of the aspects that sets him apart from the gods of men. He doesn't need to water it down to make himself more approachable. He made a way through Jesus for us to become like him, not for him to become more like us. Now let's join Pastor Mark in Revelation chapter 4 as he continues his message, the throne room of God.
I want you to get this picture. If Satan had pipes and timbrels or whatever in his body, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us, but the indication here, it might be that other angels have this as well. The ones surrounding the throne may very well be their bodies are instruments, even as their voices are instruments. And when John hears this, he hears the angel sounding that it's time that the Lord has come, and it speaks, but his very body is shouting like the sound of a trumpet coming through the angelic pipes, if you will. So you have the voice and the trumpet at the same time. And John says, it's like a trumpet. Now, if this is really what's going on, maybe it's just a trumpet, maybe it's a separate angel. But if it is something the same way that Satan was designed, that God has on the angels around the throne, imagine the praise around the throne as they're singing in this pipe organ, but something that's going to even be greater than that, because someone's saying, I don't really like pipe organs. Whatever. There's going to be this worship literally coming off of angelic bodies, possibly, with their voices. And it's just going to be like, whoa. You talk about surround sound. That's a guy thing. Sorry, ladies. You know? Amazing. And he says, I heard this voice like a trumpet. And he said he would show me things that would take place after this, immediately in the spirit. And so there he is now. Now we're going to see a picture of the throne room. He says, and I behold a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. I know I spoke about this last week, but I want to remind us again, because the Holy Spirit did right here in chapter 4. Jesus is on the throne. Right now, he's seated, and right now, he's in control of everything. We see all the crazy things happening here in America. We see the crazy things happening around the world. It's not just our nation. The whole world is in turmoil, and the Lord is seated in glory, in power, with angels singing and their pipes very possibly chiming in, so to speak, you know, thundering the heavens, and we're going to see in a minute the saints there as well. What a glorious scene that he's sitting on his throne, that he's in control. And he who sat there was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance. Again, jasper, when it describes this in a moment, it talks about, well, let me read it. And there was a rainbow around the throne, and the appearance was like an emerald. Now, again, as it describes the throne in other places, it gives a picture of kind of more of a diamond-type look. So it may be a different type of jasper, but I was told after the first service that jasper and sardis are, with those two colors, you can pretty much make every other color that you have. And now we see these beautiful colors surrounding the Lord, not only jasper and sardius stone, but notice this, a rainbow around the throne in the appearance like an emerald. Now, no doubt all the other colors are there too, but imagine this beautiful emerald color emanating from the throne of God with the angels singing and all this going on. We're going to add to it. This is going to build. It's like one of those flannel graphs, all right? We're going to keep throwing it on there. Didn't you love those people? Well, when I was in elementary, they came. I guess I don't let them anymore. But the flannel graph, you know, kind of thing, adding to it. And this whole beautiful thing as it comes together. So there the Lord is surrounded by a rainbow. A beautiful emerald rainbow. All the other colors that make up everything surrounding the Lord. Just think of how beautiful and active the throne of God is. All the colors, all the sounds, all the excitement. But everything focused on Jesus. Now, by the way, that's why I don't have a problem with a lot of excitement around worship. It doesn't bother me for worship to be exciting. It doesn't bother me to have different colored lights. It doesn't bother me to have all this. This is really what is going on in heaven all the time. But note this, the problem mankind gets into is when mankind starts looking at all the colors or the worship team. That's where we mess up. If all that can happen and Jesus is on the throne, you've got a fantastic worship set. Because that's how it's supposed to be. He's the one being honored. He's the one being glorified. Now, I love this because, again, notice this rainbow around his throne. What was the very thing? And this was the very thing that God gave us to show us that he was true to his promises. Remember after the earth flooded, he said, I'll never flood the earth again. And to show you that, I'm going to take a rainbow and put it in the sky. Little did we know, I'm going to take something from my very throne. I'm not saying he removed his throne rainbow. But something that he surrounds himself with as a constant reminder of his own promises and power. I'm going to put that in the heavenly so you can see that to realize I will never flood the earth again. You don't have to worry about the oceans overtaking the earth. He promised it would never happen. And I think it's a good reminder for us in the day and age in which we live to realize God is on the throne over the earth and every way the earth operates. He's in control. We can relax. Quite honestly, I'm glad I don't have to keep the planet going. That's a little bit overwhelming for me, but I'm glad that he's going to, and he's promised that he will, and he sits enthroned over everything in the kingdom right now. He's very able to take care of this earth and very able to take care of everything by his power and his glory. And so it's surrounded again like an emerald. He says around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the throne sat 24 elders clothed in white robes, and they had crowns and gold on their heads. Now, again, most people believe this is a representation of the church. This is a representation of believers. Some try to break it up between Old Testament believers and New Testament believers. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we know there's 24 elders there. And why do we believe it's the church? Because the Lord said that we would be seated on thrones with him. Now, certainly there's more than 24 of us. It's representative of the church there in heaven. But we'll be seated on thrones is the point. We'll be surrounding the throne. The angels will be surrounding the throne. Hordes and hordes of people surrounding the throne, giving praise and worship to God. Get a picture now of the throne room. Pretty exciting, huh? A lot of activity going on. You're going to see all this. You're going to be there. You're going to be a part of it. Now, notice this as well. It says, again, another reason I believe this is the church is the Lord told us in chapter 1 that he said that we will be made into kings and priests, and we are kings and priests unto God. So we'll be seated on thrones as kings, but the priestly system in the Jewish system was they had 24 groupings of priests, 24 groupings, and now we see 24 elders. The picture is the kings that we are in heaven and the 24 priests. We're kings and priests, the divisions, if you will, of the priests in heaven, made up of the church around the throne. And notice clothed in white robes, that is, we're forgiven, we're cleansed by Jesus. Boy, I need that all the time. I need to be completely clothed by the Lord on a regular basis. And washed in his blood. And notice they had crowns of gold on their heads. Now again, where are the crowns of gold from? The Bible says that they come from our serving the Lord. Now, not a works thing, okay? But being about the Father's business. And this is where, again, I make an appeal every time that we come to something like this. We don't have any specific needs at Calvary, so that's not why I'm saying this. But be about your Father's business. You want crowns. You want things you can throw at the feet of the Lord. You know, it's interesting. When you go and meet a king or somebody in authority and power, if you don't have much to give, it would be a very intimidating thing, I would think. Most people, when they travel to see a king, they bring some gift, right? And you can imagine showing up and here you are, a great king, and here's some lip balm. That's all I have, but I'm going to give you some lip balm. It's like, you know, that's very nice. Thank you for the lip balm. You know, kind of an interesting gift, but thank you, you know, whatever. How much better to say, I bring to you a precious gift that was given to me. And now I want to give it to you. As you serve the Lord, you're storing up precious gifts. And what it's saying is, when we're there with the Lord and all this is going on, we're going to be able to cast our crowns. We don't want to throw like some little, you know, plastic lollipop ring and have it sliding across the crystal sea. Lord, I just didn't have time to serve you. But I'm glad to be here. Look, I'll be glad to be there too. I'm just shocked I'm going to get in. But how much better to have something to say, I took the life you gave me, I invested it in you, and you gave this to me. I didn't earn it. You gave it to me, but now I give it all back. You see how precious that will be? That's what we're going to get to do. I want you to be able to do that. And so we'll be casting crowns, golden crowns, at the feet of the Lord. And notice now it goes further describing the throne. You've got the scene in your mind. It says, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Remember the vision in Ezekiel chapter 1? It says he saw the throne of the Lord, Ezekiel did, and he saw lightnings and thunderings and voices coming from under the throne. And you had these cherubim all under there on all the corners, and the lightning going back and forth, and the thundering, and the chanting of holy, 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 and praising God, and all this going on, this glorious scene that he's seeing. That's happening, all right? But at the same time, I do not believe that what we're about to see here is the same cherubim. And I'll get to that in a moment. But you see what's happening there. Then notice this. Also, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now in Revelation chapter 1, the first chapter, he described to us the seven spirits of God is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what most believe that is, and that's what the indication is from his word. So the fullness of the Holy Spirit is before the throne, but it's literally going to be these flames. Now remember, the earthly tabernacle and temple was a picture of what's going on up in heaven. God said, Moses, make this the way I'm telling you, because it's to be a picture. And that can't really demonstrate what it's going to be like. But imagine, I doubt it will be a seven-branch menorah. It might be something massive that way. Maybe it is. Maybe it's individual flames that are going up. But you've got these beautiful, fiery flames around the throne. The angels with the pipes and all the sound, all the colors, all the rainbow. The believers there, the worship going on, the throne, the crowns being cast at his feet. Just an amazing scene. It's hard for the mind to even imagine. And even begin to take it in. But these flames are burning there, and the fire and the glory and all this going on before the throne. And it says in verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. Now again, it's not going to be liquid because we're going to cast our crowns on that glassy sea. And they're not going to sink. So it's going to be just this beautiful crystal glass look, see-through. Again, think of all the colors going through that. You think about the clearness of the stones and the brilliance of all the colors and the refraction as it goes through the stones, making different colors. Again, it tells us that the new Jerusalem is going to be clear walls. It's going to be made of gems, precious stones, and you'll be able to see through them. But it'll literally be a city. And the Bible says you will be shining like the stars of heaven. So that's what this means is when I'm standing outside of the New Jerusalem, I'm going to see this beautiful bright light going in the door. And there you're going to go, whoa, look, there goes Pastor Jason. Whoa, he looks really good in Jasper. Oh, look at that. He's going, and all the colors. And wow, look, there it goes. And people walking through the kingdom, we're going to see that it's going to be an eye feast in glory forever. It's more than we can imagine. There's never going to be a time, oh, yeah, I've seen that. Did you see what happened when Jason went through? Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, yeah. You ought to see Travis, you know. Whatever, the bottom line is we're never going to get tired of it. It's going to be glorious forever. It's going to be beautiful forever. And this sea of glass, I think of all the vibrancy of the colors and the refraction. We're casting the crowns, the sparkling gold, the pure gold of heaven. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures. Now, again, before I read this again, I don't believe that he's talking about the same cherubim we saw up in the earlier verses and talked about in Ezekiel. Are they there? Yes, they're there. The cherubim are around the throne, as the Bible says. But the cherubim each had four faces. And it'll be the same four faces we're about to read here, but each cherubim had those four faces. It would appear from this passage that these angels each only have one face, and so probably these are a different cast of angels. They were cherubim. The Bible speaks of seraphs or seraphim. That's plural. These very well may be seraphim surrounding the throne along with the cherubim surrounding the throne. But notice they have the same faces just individually. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures. This is kind of freaky, but I guarantee you it's not going to freak you out then. Full of eyes in front and in back. Sounds like my mom. Now, you talk about some of the creatures people come up with in the movies. This is nothing compared to what God comes up with. And it sounds freaky, like, I don't know that I want to, it's going to, oh, right? I promise you, it's going to be beautiful. However this is going to be done, it's going to be, oh my goodness. You know, look at the eyeshadow. No, I'm just kidding. I doubt there'll be eyeshadow. All those lashes. Anyway. But it's going to be something beautiful. that's going to be there. And they're going to be all around, whatever it's going to be, just again, trying to imagine this, again, showing the all-seeing, all-knowingness of God along with the flames of the Holy Spirit. And notice it describes them now, possibly these seraphim. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had the face of a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now, this is interesting because, again, the same four faces of the cherubim, and maybe it's the same angels, and the language kind of is a little bit unclear, and maybe there's not separate here, but it appears they have their own individual faces rather than having all four. So we'll find out when we get there, and it could be a different grouping. But if it is different, these are all having the same faces on them, if you will. The same ones. Notice, and it's interesting to me what each represents scripturally. A lion represents kingliness. King Jesus. All these are a picture of who he is around his throne. A calf. A calf represents servitude. They use the oxen to plow and all the servitude that went with a calf. Again, Jesus was a servant. The man, Jesus became a man. And he dwelt among us. He knows what we're experiencing. He knows what we're going through. He's one of us in that sense. And the fourth living creature, an eagle. Eagles in scripture represent deity. And again, the Lord ruling over all things. Now, it's interesting as well because even as these surround the throne, God has written his gospels, his revealing of himself in the same imagery surrounding himself in the word of God. What do I mean? The book of Matthew presents Jesus as how? A lion, a king. The king of the tribe of Judah. And then again, we see, again, Matthew, Mark, again, showing him as this servant, if you will. Mark talks all about the servitude of the Lord. Again, just like the face of the calf and Jesus being a servant for us. The third one is a man. Luke speaks of his manhood. When you read Luke, it talks about the manhood of Jesus Christ, his humanity. And then the last one, the book of John, is famously known as the book of his deity. Again, the eagle. So even as the angels surround the throne in this imagery, God has written the word of God and put it together in that same imagery. What chance? That was a joke. Obviously not very funny. There is no chance. God ordained the Bible. God placed the books the way he wanted. God put everything in divine order. He put in what he wanted. He left out what he didn't want. And he is sovereign. No man could do that. And anyone that thinks a man could do that has greater faith than I do by simply believing this is the word of God given by God who has all power and all authority in heaven forever and ever and ever. Amen. And so all the creatures there, notice this, verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, they were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and night. Notice this saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. No doubt a part of that rumbling voices that we're hearing, holy, 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 who was and is to come. Again, it's going to be something beautiful, though, that's something that just doesn't, it doesn't like bother you like this noise that's always there. It's going to be something that's just nourishing and building and glorifying to God the entire time. Now, a couple of things I want to note about what they're saying here, because in saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, there's two things revealed here. Number one, the Trinity, and there's a description of God. Why the Trinity? Because Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Notice they didn't just say, holy, who was and is to come. They said, holy, holy, holy. And every time you see that phraseology of the angels, they're speaking in that triune picture, if you will, because of the triune nature of God. And then the descriptive part of God, which is exciting to me because this is what God calls us to be. One of the main descriptors of God in heaven is holiness. And what does the Bible say? Be holy, for I'm holy. God calls us to holiness. We live in a world today, and I hate to say oftentimes in portions of the church today that don't understand holiness, and they're not living in holiness. Whatever cool trend blows through, and I've got my freedoms, man. Of course you do. You're free in Christ. Let me ask you this. If you're not holy in Christ, your freedom is a farce. You can have your freedom, but you need to be holy. What does holiness mean? It means to be different from the world. That's the best way to sum it up. Not like the world. Different from the world. Jesus never became like the world to reach it. Ever. He stayed 100% holy. 100% Jesus. 100% righteous. And he went right in the middle of an unholy world and loved them. And we're a part of that. And now we say along with them, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And what does God say to us from heaven? Be holy, for I am holy. I challenge you this morning. Are you living holy unto God? Are you living just like the world? Can the world look at you and say, you're different? Can they say that? Or would they say, you know what? You're so cool. You're like everybody else. Really? That's a cool I don't want to be. Cool's okay, as long as you're holy. And notice this, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sit on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne saying, and here's what we're all going to be saying, you're going to be seeing this, get ready, you'll be prepared. And by the way, you're going to know what to say, I think supernaturally, but you'll know because this morning, you're going to know. You're going to be, hey, yeah, he told us, this is it. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and they were created. Now, I like the King James translation better because I think the King James translation on this last verse is actually more accurate and describes better what we're looking at here as compared to the New King James. Listen to what it says in the Old King James, and this may describe why you are feeling empty this morning, if you are feeling empty. Here's what it says, more accurately, I think. It says, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. Here's what that means. God created you, and here's why you were created. You were created to bring him pleasure. I don't know that I like that. You don't have to like it, but it doesn't change the facts. Things are made to do certain things. And if you try to use certain things, certain tools to do things they're not supposed to do, ladies, I understand you can do pretty good with a high-heeled shoe when it comes to certain nails. But if you take a carpenter and he's trying to build a house, you're going to be there for a while. There are things that are made to do certain things. Here's what you were made for. If you're being used for the wrong things this morning, you're just being used. You were made for his pleasure, to bring him glory. And that may be why some of you feel empty this morning. Because here's what you've been doing. You did what I did most of my life, and I still fall back into it and have to go, what am I doing? You're living for yourself. You're living for what you want. You're living for your dreams, your visions. Will God let you use the gifts he's given you for the things you want to do in life? Absolutely. It's a gift from God. He's going to use those gifts. He gives the desires of the heart. It doesn't mean that you can't do the things you love. What I'm saying is all those things must be channeled through the Lord. How am I going to use this? Why am I using this? This is all for your glory, and I want to use this for your glory because that's why I was created. And until you find out why you were created and begin to live for the purpose of your creation, you're going to remain empty because the world can't satisfy. There's nothing that can fill the emptiness of your heart. It's not going to go away by any event, anything you buy, anything you get into, any hobby. It may last for a while. I mean, the world kind of can you know, please us for a while, but then it becomes very empty, and it's only Jesus. Are you living for his pleasure? Are you living holy? That's going to be the fulfillment you need, and that's what we need, especially in the days in which we live. Are we content? Are we fulfilled? Because if we live for his pleasure, here's what happens. He fills us with his pleasure. And now we rejoice in our God. And then he takes the gifts he's given us, the things we love to do, he anoints them. And we do what we love to do under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, and life just gets that much better.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Revelation next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series plus much more at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. Before we close, we want you to know if you live in the Knoxville area, we invite you to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through his radio outreach. There's always a seat for you, Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. You can download this from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Revelation, a fascinating and sometimes mind-boggling book that consists of things from the past and touches on what's to come in the future. One sure way to not be anxious about the things written in Revelation is to fully understand exactly what God's telling us prophetically. So be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.